Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8. And then with your finger in that place, go ahead and flip over to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Exodus 20, verse 8, and Isaiah 58, verse 13. Listen carefully to God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Isaiah 58. Verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. The French philosopher, atheist, Voltaire said this: if you want to destroy Christianity, you must first abolish the Christian Sunday. We have seen in the past 100 years the decline, the abolition of the Christian Sunday in our country by secularism, materialism, commercialization. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. When our nation was founded, it was founded upon the principle of what was then called and now called the Puritan principle. The Puritan principle was an observance of Sunday, the Lord's Day, as the Sabbath. It has only really been about 100 years, especially at the turn of this century, that our country has begun to practice what was called the Continental Sabbath. The Continental Sabbath was a result of many immigrants coming from the continent of Europe into our country who looked for and used Sunday for the practice of entertainment, of work, and other type of diversion rather than the worship of God. I say that we have seen a decline in our country, and we are none the better for having seen a change in the practice of the Lord's Day. Once Sunday becomes like any other day, we will and we have witnessed the dismantling of the moral fiber of a nation. Voltaire was right. Dismantle Sunday and you will dismantle Christianity. What is the meaning of Sunday for a Christian? Well, I won't waste any time by reflecting on the opposite, that is, what Sunday means to the natural man, to the unbeliever, to the non-Christian, because I think all of us probably know what Sunday means to the natural man. I want rather to focus upon what Sunday means for the Christian. Firstly, let me say that Sunday is a symbol of your relationship to God. What do I mean by that? I mean that the first priority and the first duty that man had on planet Earth was not work. Did you notice that? The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath, does not begin at Sinai. It begins at creation. So that the first duty and the first priority after God created man on the sixth day, then man was commanded to rest on the Sabbath. Do you not see here a symbol of your relationship with God? That is, you and I are to rest in God first before we begin to do anything else. I see here the significance and the meaning of what of our relationship with Him in terms of grace and not works. You cannot earn a place with Him. You can only rest in Him. It is sheer grace. And to fall short of observing a day that He has set aside is to fly into the face of what grace means. In Exodus 31:13, we read these words, "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." I said that it is a symbol of your relationship with Him. And He Himself said in the Old Testament that He's given the Sabbath in order that you may know that you are sanctified, that is, redeemed. How are we redeemed? We are redeemed by the cross of Calvary, so that every Sunday should remind you and me of the sacrifice of our Savior for us. It is a symbol that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Communism has made a frontal attack on Sunday, trying to abolish it in the Soviet Union. And to a great extent, it has succeeded. The French tried it. After the French Revolution, they decided to do away with 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. And so they said, we will have 9 days of work and 1 day of rest, and we will have a 10-day week. And they tried it, and it was a miserable failure. Do you know why? Because Sunday is a reminder to you and me, put here by the God of the universe, who knows you, who knows your psychological needs, who knows your biological needs, your physical needs, and your spiritual needs. There is a rhythm to the universe. There is a rhythm to your body and to your spirit. And so it is for you that God puts in 1 day just for Himself. It is a reminder. That's what Sunday is. It's to remind us to remind us that one day in seven is not merely an arbitrary rule where God said in eternity past, and He said, I'm going to create man, and I think what I'll do is I'll create one day where they're not supposed to work, just arbitrarily. But He gave one day for the replenishing of the spirit and the mind and the body. The French failed in their experiment because they tried to do something that was impossible, humanly speaking, to do. It was rather like the Coca-Cola machine that the little boy was trying to get a drink out of, and he dropped some money in it, and he began to pound on the Coca-Cola machine and to shake it, and he never received any drink. And then he looked at the sign on the Coca-Cola machine, and it said, when all else fails, follow directions. And so following directions, he got what he needed. It is as if God needs to say to you and me, Christian, is it any wonder you're in such physical condition? Is it any wonder that you're in such emotional and nervous and anxious condition? Is it any wonder that you are in the plight that you're in? Is it any wonder that you keep talking about going away for a weekend? Is it any wonder when you and I are not following directions? The directions were by the Maker, one day in seven for God and for rest and for renewal. Sunday is a reminder, I said. That's what, in fact, the text itself says, and that's the way God put it in Exodus 20. He said, interestingly, He didn't say it in any other commandment, He said, remember. Why does He say remember, but the fact that it is so easy to forget? We become so involved in our lifestyles that we begin to forget the day is to remind us of the fact that Jesus is Lord, that we're not in charge of the universe and we're not even in charge of our own lives, that God is the Lord of our lives. We need to be reminded that life is not in order to do what we want to do. Life is in order to do one thing, and that is to glorify the God of the universe. God knows your need, and He gave us Sunday. Well, the Old Testament talks about the Sabbath, but we are talking about Sunday. You know, the word Sabbath, Shabbat, in Hebrew, actually means seven. So that after God created in 6 days, on the seventh day He rested, why is it that then we observe as Christians Sunday, which is the first day of the week? We call it our Christian Sabbath. We call it the Lord's Day. Why? Because we find in the New Testament that the greatest event that has ever taken place in the annals of miraculous history took place on the first day of the week, and that was the resurrection of our Lord. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. The disciples began to meet and worship on the first day of the week. Pentecost happened on the first day of the week. The Apostle Paul said to his churches, take up your collections on the first day of the week. So that we see in the Old Testament that there was a Sabbath of creation, a Sabbath rest of creation, but in the New Testament there is a Sabbath of grace, which is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. I believe that there is something even more significant than that that we find in the meaning of Sunday in the New Testament. I believe that one of the most significant things that I can say to you this morning, but it is hard to grasp, I admit it, because it is an idea and it is not simply something that can practically be worked out. But listen to me. In the New Testament, the Old Testament Sabbath finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Do you know what I mean? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 11. He said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." The Old Testament is talking about a Sabbath rest. The New Testament provides that Sabbath rest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, the symbol in the Old Testament is fulfilled. In Jesus, everything that the Old Testament Sabbath was to bring with its blessing finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and our relationship is brought into oneness with God in Christ. You see, if you do not know Jesus Christ, then it is almost, yes, I'll say it, it is impossible to observe a Sabbath day. Because Jesus is your Sabbath rest. And to observe Sunday as a day of rest is to remember that Jesus is your Sabbath. And that this Sunday is a symbol of my relationship with the one in whom I rest. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 4, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his," that is Jesus' "rest, has ceased from his own works. Therefore," the writer says, "let us enter into his rest." I want to spend some time this morning. As we've considered the meaning of Sunday for the Christian, we said that it was a symbol of your relationship to God. We said that it's a symbol that God is your Redeemer and that Sunday is a reminder. We've also considered what Sunday means in the New Testament. That is how it's changed from the Old Testament Sabbath, and now it's being celebrated on the first day, and how that Old Testament Sabbath rest is fulfilled in the idea of Jesus being our rest. So that in a real sense, you and I cannot really fulfill the purpose of the Old Testament Sabbath and our rest in Christ until we finally get to our heavenly home. Because that is our eternal Sabbath rest. Sunday is to be an emblem of our rest in eternity. Consider with me now some guidelines for the practical observance of keeping a Christian Sabbath. Now, I don't want to make specific rules, because then we would simply fall into the pattern of the Pharisees. Did you know that they had over 1,500 rules just for observance of Sabbath? They said you can't walk beyond a mile outside the city on the Sabbath. They said you cannot build a fire on the Sabbath, and nor can you put a fire out on the Sabbath. So you hope that your home didn't catch on fire on that day. So strict were they. 1,500 rules. I don't want to make rules, but I want to offer you a principle to guide your thinking and your practice of observing the Lord's Day. And the principle is this. Stop asking, what can I get away with and still be within the framework? But rather ask this, how can I honor God on Sunday? How can I honor God? Not what can I get away with. Ask yourself when you're about to do it or practice it, does this honor God? I'm not making a rule. I'm offering to you a principle. And then I'm saying, let the Holy Spirit and God's presence in Jesus Christ guide you. I remember in reading the old Puritan writers, they used a word called improve. And what they meant by that was, whenever they found a truth in the Bible, they would ask themselves, how can I improve upon it? They did not mean how I can make it better, but they meant how can I take this truth and how can I digest it into my life so that it becomes a part of my practice day by day. And what I want to suggest to you that you take the fourth commandment and that you improve upon it in your life. How can I honor God on this day? Now, there are three types of work that traditionally in our Calvinistic system that we have suggested may be admitted from a biblical standpoint on the Lord's Day. There are works of necessity, works of mercy, and works of piety. Piety are obviously those things like coming to church and worshiping God and going home and worshiping Him. Works of mercy and of necessity are works where individuals must decide in part in their conscience. I don't want to make rules. I remember reading a story about another preacher who was raised on a farm, and he had been taught to observe the Lord's Day and not to do anything other than works of necessity or of mercy. He knew that, and one day he found out in the farm a rat in the grain bin. And so he was evaluating whether or not he should kill the rat because he knew it was wrong to kill animals, but here was a rat. On the other hand, would it be working on Sunday? And so he went to his father, and he presented the case to his father, and his father told him, he said, "Son, I don't know whether it's a work of necessity or of mercy, but by all means, kill the rat." And so that's what he did. There are works of necessity. Sometimes we hear people use the term, well, the ox is in the ditch. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen an ox, much less an ox-drawn cart and an ox caught in a ditch. I doubt very many of you or myself, except in India. A work of necessity normally belongs to those categories of health professions, of needs that actually should and ought to be done. Works of mercy include such works as that where there are needed items that should be done to take care and to minister to needs. Quickly, some practical suggestions. I want to say this, firstly, that you and I ought to do everything that we can to get our business done by Sunday. Now, I know some of you saying, well, preacher, you work on Sunday. And that's true. But I try to observe another day of rest, since I don't rest as such on Sunday. But we ought to get our work done, Christian. I believe that we have witnessed in our nation the dismantling of a day, and we have witnessed a threat to Christianity because of it. Get your business done. I believe this commandment has particular application to the heads of homes and to employers, so as not to involve either their family or others in positions where they would compromise the Lord's day. I know the arguments that there's just so much that I have to do and there's so much to be done. I've got to catch up with this. Let me tell you this. Our forefathers who observed Sunday as a day of rest seem to produce more and better products. And they didn't work on Sunday. I heard a Republic Steel executive say in a civic organization here in town, he said that the Japanese can produce twice as much in less the time for half the cost, and the tragedy is that it's better merchandise. Did you see U.S. News this week? If you want some factual background to what I'm saying, just read it. It will put you in depression as you compare the production of business in our nation and Germany and Japan compared with each other. Now, I may be wrong, but I believe with all my heart, I wonder, is God judging us because we have abused our privileges? This commandment says rest one day, but it says one other thing. Do you notice that? It says work 6 days. Work and then rest. I would suggest to students who are Christians, because I can't speak to the non-Christian student, not right this moment, but if you're a Christian, I want to challenge you, young people, children in elementary school, junior high school, and college students, I want to challenge you not to do your studying on the Lord's Day. I'm not going to make a rule for you, and that's up to you, up to your conscience. Some of you may be even going into Christian work and may study theology, and you may even study the Bible, but it's for coursework, and I want to challenge you. Our SAT scores have increasingly been lower over the past several years. In 1965, the verbal score was 473. By 1979, we had successfully dropped it to 427. I want to challenge you to observe God's day. And I believe God will bless you. Are we experiencing God's displeasure? The people in the Old Testament did. The Jews did. They went into captivity, and one of the reasons that they went into captivity was because they did not observe God's Sabbath day. And now I know that I am no longer preaching, but I've gone to meddling. What I suggest, dear homemakers, try to get your work done before the Lord's day. I'm just speaking to you from my heart. And very practically, I like the little quaint sentence that I found in an old commentary by A.W. Pink. He said this, quote, he said, such things as porridge and soup can be prepared on Saturday and heated on the Sabbath. Close quote. I knew of a preacher over in Mississippi who didn't even polish his shoes on Sunday just so it would be ready for the Lord's day so that he would not do any work. go to bed and stop staying up so late so that you won't have to sleep through the worship service. And be prepared for Sunday. Don't allow your family visits to intrude into the observance of the Lord's Day either. Bring them with you, but by no means allow an intrusion into keeping God's day. Wilbur and Orville Wright were showing their wares to the King of Spain, and he asked to go up in their airplane. And they said, "We never fly on Sunday, and so you can't." We all know about Eric Lytle and Chariots of Fire, and we know about the Chick-fil-A chain in the malls. I believe I will go so far to say this in closing, that as the keeping of the Lord's Day goes, so goes your spiritual life. I believe that's pretty accurate. Leslie Weatherhead was a minister of another generation. He was talking to an old man. This old man was past 80, and the old man was getting ready to die. He didn't have much time for the Lord during his days, and the old man was somewhat anxious and afraid of dying, and he expressed that concern to Leslie Weatherhead. The old man said, "I didn't have much time." And the minister said in his heart, he said, "I wanted to be as comforting as possible to this man. But the man had over 4,000 Sabbaths to attend to his soul." What about you? If you are a Christian here this morning, isn't it time that our distinctiveness as Christians was evidenced in what we do and say and how we observe the Lord's Day? Over 4,000 Sabbaths and no opportunity to benefit your soul? Take that opportunity right now, young person, and give this day to the Lord. Take that opportunity now, young adults, singles, older folk, and honor God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Let's pray.